Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center Show, a show about Star Wars, pop culture, and the ultimate adventure, life itself. I'm Ken Napsok.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
And I'm Jennifer Landa.
And we are here to dive deep, like we love doing, into a certain aspect of the Ahsoka series. We're going to be looking at the spirit of Anakin Skywalker. What does it mean? Is it actually on our screen? We're going to figure that all out. And what are the meanings there? Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And happy to report, we'll have a Force Center recommends a little bit later, a book we think you should try out on us. Joseph, we are going to have a lot of fun doing what we have done for years, but it's a renewed energy because we're back in the saddle.
That is right. I'm very excited to talk about Anakin Skywalker. But first, I got to give you a compliment, Ken.
What's that?
You said the Ahsoka series, which is a great way to just say the whole thing, because I keep saying the Ahsoka show. And it sounds like a 70s vaudeville show to me. It was great on the Ahsoka show, you know? Yeah.
It's the Patty Duke show.
And, exactly. And welcome to the stage, Ahsoka.
Wow. Starring Harvey Korman.
Yes. So we are excited to continue to dig into the Ahsoka series by looking at specific aspects. In this episode, we are looking at the spirit of Anakin Skywalker. Is it truly a Force spirit? We'll discuss that. We're going to discuss everything about Anakin's role in Ahsoka. going to talk some of the big ideas, but also the fun details as well, which we like to do boldly. We're also going to attempt to contain ourselves to around 90 minutes. Just going to put that out there to give our episode a ticking clock of tension to see if we can actually make it. There's a lot of fun and big ideas to talk about. So I'm going to just start with this big picture question. Jennifer, for you, overall, what is the most interesting or exciting thing to you about Anakin's role in the Ahsoka series?
For me, it was the visuals. I thought that he looked pretty good. The de-aging looked good in Kenobi, in the Kenobi series. But this really, I mean, he is the co-star of that episode, episode five. And it just looked, in my opinion, the best that it's looked in terms of the technology. And what that did was it allowed for me to really focus on the story and the characters, as opposed to being distracted by, oh, what, you know, does his face look accurate and how is his voice and blah, blah, blah. And I thought Hayden Christensen did an excellent performance. That was another thing, is that it felt, we're going to get into it, but like it felt like a wonderful bookend moment for these characters that we have watched over the course of the Clone Wars. Oh, and this is a different side of Hayden and Anakin that we had not really seen in live action. So yeah, it just was, it was much more exciting and thrilling than I initially imagined.
Yeah, well, that's great. I think it's really smart to start with the visuals too, because that has been such a question of bringing legacy characters back. And I love everything about Anakin and Vader's appearances in Kenobi. The training scene with Kenobi, the flashback, is just thematically, emotionally moving. But the de-aging for me is like, it's up and down. It's got a little bit of Anakin like pretending to be a kid. It's almost a little bit like, how do you do, fellow Padawans? I'm not actually the age I am. And I thought that the de-aging on the like teaser shot of him in the previous episode of Ahsoka, the part four, you could see the de-aging. And then that entire chapter five, part five, I didn't see any of the de-aging. I think the shadows, the performance, the different ages, it all hit it. So visually it was just seamless and you could just focus on the ideas. That was my visual experience. Ken, for you, what is the most interesting or exciting thing about Anakin's role in the Ahsoka show?
Well, it's interesting, right? We had a little bit of an idea this was coming because of, you know, one kind of rebellish post from Rosario Dawson a couple, maybe you know, almost seemed like a year before the show came out. Yeah. So we kind of had this idea this was coming. And you know, even without that, this would have made some sort of sense, right? I'm sure it was on a list of predictions and Ahsoka bingo cards. So even with that said, that you may be, hey, I'm waiting for it. It's a countdown to Anakin. The most interesting thing story-wise to me was getting these characters together again and getting together in some way because of their connection. That makes sense. It's their connection so vital to each other's journey. So it was just kind of this wonderful bonus as a Star Wars fan that we never thought we'd be here, just with live action, with Ahsoka, even Clone Wars season 7, and a reminder of the era that we're in, despite, you know, some misgivings some people might have, or the technical stuff that we do have to worry about. I agree, it's just getting better and better, which is always, it's good to remind myself that, you know, that first digital shot of The Rock and the Scorpion King compared to where we got, you know, it all does get better eventually, was there. And then an exciting byproduct of that is like, Jen, you touched upon it, is Hayden getting to continue his journey back into the role. He was wonderful in Kenobi. I absolutely love his moments in that series, and they are maybe more Vader moments, if you will, than anything else. But for me, this was the best Anakin. Hayden was just absolutely wonderful. And he sounded very Canadian at times, which was wonderful as well. And for him to come back all these years and just show up and do what he did in Kenobi was great. But now to actually spend more time on screen in a certain way, you know, doing this side of the character and getting connect with the Clone Wars in a way, like, you know, there's some Matt Lanter in here. Absolutely is. And it all kind of, as a Star Wars fan, was just that fun was the way I was looking at it overall.
That's great. You pointed out, I think last week, that you were hearing a little bit more of Hayden's
a little more
natural Canadian tone, which I've just been too absorbed in the character. And when I was rewatching for this, it's not this far, but there is a little bit of like that wonderful deep. One of my favorite lines of that, what this is about, does verge into, is that what this is about? Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
It's impossible. He can't move that mouth.
I didn't hear it at all until you pointed it out. So thank you for cursing me with that, Ken.
Thank you, Arius. I apologize.
Yeah, I think for me, I really want to acknowledge that narratively, thematically, functionally, Anakin is there to do what Force spirits have always done, which is to show up when they are most needed. So he is there to support Ahsoka's journey in Ahsoka's series or show. I almost feel like I need to put that caveat out because I'm so obsessed with Anakin's role and what it means for him that I want to acknowledge that I think it is done well that his first, you know, point of being there is to be there for Ahsoka. But I really love what both of you are saying. I think for me, what was sort of meaningful about it after going on, you know, a long journey with this character and seeing Vader and Anakin, not as two separate people, as he argues and as Kenobi, you know, needs to believe for a while, but is the truth that they're just extremes of one person. And looking at it from that way, like, I've been living with this kid, this character, since I was an infant in his Vader form, and then through all the different versions of him in the prequels, in the Clone Wars animated series, which he so bought in. And this was the first time that you got to see the unified character completely as he is. And what I loved is that it was all of the traits that make this person who he is, whether he's Anakin or Vader, his compassion, his anger, his resolve and determination, his need to sometimes just break things down and see things as really simple binary choices, is Hu Yang puts it, his intensity. Those were all just traits that were on display that could be good or bad. And that's what was so fascinating to me about it. It wasn't that like, oh, he got angry, here comes Vader. It's no, he's intense. And intense can be good or bad. And Vader is such one of the original characters of Star Wars. And then Anakin, you know, the lead of the prequels in many ways, he can be looked at as like this Rosetta Stone of Star Wars, of everything that can be is in this guy. And to see him just have all of these traits, and they can be destructive, as we've seen as Vader, or like in these episodes, they can be constructive. They're helping people, but they're just traits. And what he does with them is what matters. And that's what was really beautiful to me about seeing him as a unified character.
I really love what you're saying there, and curious, Jen, your thoughts as well, because I'm someone who has said and podcasted and written about the war that goes on between Anakin and Vader. So it seems like those two, that's two separate people, but you're right. This is the reality. It's the two wolves in all of us, right?
Yes.
And it's coming to roost here. And I think that's a thing we're going to keep coming back to, of just this complete 360 degree view of Anakin, which was what was so valuable, but also part of the lesson that even if you yourself think there's two people inside me that I'm fighting over, it is about you and your whole being, the good, the bad, and the otherwise. So I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure we'll get to chat about it more. I love to hear you guys' thoughts about it. But I do want to acknowledge this because I think I've seen it pop up on social media a little bit. And I believe I saw an interview with Filoni and Hayden as well. So the reality of what is going on in part five, chapter five, the reality of Anakin's appearance is up for interpretation. Which interpretation do you prefer? A force spirit like we've seen of Kenobi, Yoda, Luke Skywalker, a figment of Ahsoka's imagination as she drowns? Is he a manifestation of some element of the world between worlds, just using Anakin's face and existence as a mask? Is he something else? Jennifer, what interpretation do you like?
I like that he's a force spirit there to guide Ahsoka on her journey, not a figment of her imagination. And the way that I would think of it, like for our world, is when people, you know, fall into a coma, and then they have these experiences where they've, you know, encountered an angel or somebody else from their past life who then gives them this life lesson. And then they come out of the coma and they're like, I just experienced life after death. That's kind of what I would say, is that Anakin is her angel there to teach her a lesson. It's interesting though. I don't want to believe that he's a figment of her imagination. It's like the power of Star Wars is that we can believe that these force spirits exist and are real and can do things to actually make a difference, as opposed to just her imagining it.
Yeah, no, I really agree. And I like comparing it. I think, you know, narratively, spiritually, it is similar to to a conversation you might have or a vision you might have on the edge of death, as people have reported. I would be thrilled if a brooding, intense Canadian visited me in my hour of need. but you're right. It is that's an idea that we can cling to, as that is something similar to what people report happening in their reality. But in Star Wars, there are different rules that we've gotten somewhat used to up to a point about how all this works. So, Ken, where do you go with it?
First of all, Jen, you pitched a wonderful Hallmark movie that we could watch during the holiday season. The Angel in the Coma. It's amazing. I up until the final shot, I was going along with this idea there was a manifestation of the world between worlds pulling from Ahsoka's soul, so to speak. But then that final shot made me want to go, which is it was force spirit all the way through. But that's the beauty of this. It's up to interpretation. I hope we never get a direct answer. And Dave seems like the kind of cat that won't give that direct answer. He'll talk about what it means. And that's what we're here for today. We're going to discuss that end shot more and everything like that. But there was some piece in that shot that made me want this all to be some real journey for both of these characters and not just all of it there for a lesson for Ahsoka. But the world between worlds is a wonderful, intriguing arena to play around in as a Star Wars fan and as a Star Wars creator. It could be all of it. It definitely was real for Ahsoka back then, right? She was saved by this. So there's some reality to it. We have Jason hearing the lightsaber sound. So it's a little mind bending. And that's what I love about it, because at the end of the day, it is then how it affects you and what it means to the story.
Yeah.
This is the reality.
And I think the instinct for the creators to say it's open for interpretation is great to keep people focused on the ideas and the themes and the characters and the lessons and not getting too pedantic about rules of this very spiritual side of Star Wars. And for me, is there literally a portal to the world between world underneath those waves? Is Anakin such a powerful force spirit that he could sort of pull her into that? Like, how exactly is Jason hearing that? All that stuff, I'm really happy to have be like, I don't need a super specific technical answer. Yeah. I do not want a world between worlds cross section book that explains all the details.
Go down these stairs right here.
But I do find myself saying, like, for my headcanon, whatever other people want to believe, I'm not trying to have a battle to determine correctness. But for myself, in my head, it is absolutely Anakin. It is his force spirit, as much as Kenobi appearing to Luke on Dagobah is Kenobi making a choice. For me, it makes everything richer because he is absolutely being there for Ahsoka and he is giving her what she needs. But there is personal stakes in it for him if it is his force spirit. And in the particular moment that is far richer for me, if this is the character of Anakin, is it feels to me like he gets to the point where he realizes she needs to confront Vader to process her trauma. I don't really want to go full Vader, but I'm going to make myself / let myself re-experience the extreme of what I can be because it's what she needs to see. And when she chooses to live and throws aside the blade, the way he stumbles back, it feels so personal. That doesn't feel to me like a spirit guide. That feels like I let myself be the worst of myself. I filled myself with disease because it's what the person in front of me needed. And now I'm letting this disease leave my body and I can go back to being the person I want to be, the person I always should be. It feels so real and so emotional for him in Hayden's performance, the way he stumbles back and is able to let the evil and the hate go. It's so beautiful. And to me, that's just much richer if that is a force spirit saying, I am everything Anakin ever was. I can be this, don't want to be, but I did it for you.
I can get behind that for that moment. And then even the one we were talking about and joking about, the Aboot moment is is such a, it's a lived in moment for that character for me. Like, and I don't think it's him. Yeah. I think I saw some tweets reading it as like him being defensive and everything, but there's some control in that of just like, is that what this is about? Did you bring me back here for this, for me, for my life or yours? And he needs to, you know, it's not like, I don't think Anakin's working through that side of him as much as she's working through that side of him, like you said. So I love that. And leading up to the moment, there's a real choice she makes, and therefore the pullback, the stumble moment is a moment of clarity for her, and a moment of maybe teaching victory for him, is how I kind of read that too. So I can follow down that path.
I feel like as Anakin, and then when he takes on the Vader mode, he's trying to teach her the same lesson, but it really is that, like, oh, you need to see Vader. I think that's that sort of defensiveness and the sadness of, is that what this is about? Not a boot. About is, I have to show you that side of myself, because that's the only way that you're going to be able to process this lesson. And that's what you need. Just love it. Jennifer?
And I really like, as a testament to Hayden's performance and also the visual effects, the way it almost like it inhabits him, right? Like you're talking about. And it's like it, when he goes to that dark side, you see it, it's like it comes up, and then the color leaves his face and the performance and his body relaxes. It's like both of those things, mm-hmm. the visual effects and his performance, are working so well together to show that, to demonstrate what you're talking about. That it's not like he really is that. It's just that he's conjuring that for her.
Yeah. 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 He just like lets it in, you know, And it is just such a great performance of what it feels like when you know you've reached a peak of anger and it would be comfortable to stay there, but you have to let it go. You know, maybe I'm being too honest, but I, you know, have those moments where you're fighting with someone you love. And you know you don't want to keep fighting, but it's too scary to de-escalate. And you just really have to let yourself, like, de-escalate because you know it's right. It's a beautiful performance of that emotion that I've experienced, hopefully. Not the only one.
And the next time you're in that situation, follow Hayden down that path. I think it's one of the finest acting moments in the series. And I actually really love that you're choosing to highlight it here. It's Hayden really getting to play with this. And we were all there. We all know what a lot of the critics said in 02 and 05. And maybe, you know, it's part of what George's approach was. I really liked him getting this chance to dig in on these kind of levels. Yeah. And I agree. I like the idea of like, you need the monster. I'll show you the monster because it is part of who I am. And you're saying some truths about that. But we're going to get more into about what it is about the choices. So great moment.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as we've talked about, on a functional level, Anakin is there to help move Ahsoka's story forward. Ken, how do you think he does that? What lesson do you think he is truly trying to teach her?
I try to see, like, I go to the end of it in a way, post World Between Worlds, when we've got Ahsoka the White, right? Which is, there's so much stuff, excitement and love for this Ahsoka the White version. And everyone's made the Gandalf connections, obviously. And it's been for years, right? We've been waiting since the end of Rebels. We've been seeing this kind of stuff. I go to that moment because she kind of emerges to me connected with the bigger picture, the Purgle, the solution, not the fight. And that's kind of where I think I took from a lot of what was going on. At least it was a valuable lesson. You know, you can go with the save what you love, not fight what you hate thing, which is powerful for a reason why it's brought up a lot. Here's that great moment of thinking there's a price to be paid, or they're at least discussing the idea of there's a price to be paid. And that maybe is a opposite of what the price maybe we think we have to pay. There's a lot of going on with Anakin of like, yeah, we fight for, you know, you survive by fighting versus, again, going to where Ahsoka emerges, she's more connected to a solution that's outside of her own. We've got to stop Thrawn. Got to stop Thrawn. Mm-hmm. Now it's more about, we're going to find a way to get there. We're going to find, you know, we're going to be okay. It's kind of how I saw it. So that's kind of why I had the big picture of what I thought he was there for.
That's great. Jennifer, what do you feel like the big picture lesson was?
I think Anakin needed to be there, and she needed him, and she needed to see him as a hero. I think that was really, really important. I feel like she just has, I don't want to say self-doubt because she's very confident, but she also has this fear that maybe that she is the bad that he was, right? Mm-hmm. If she's everything that he is, that includes the bad. Is that going to come out in her? Does she need to stifle that? Which I kind of feel like at the beginning of this series, it really does feel like she's like tense and just not wanting to feel any emotion, right? She's detaching herself from a lot of things because she is afraid. So seeing him, and it's like, you know, when you have a family member, whether it's a parent or something, and maybe you don't like these things about your parent, right? And mm-hmm. you're like, oh shoot, that's within me too. But then you see these beautiful and wonderful things and you're like, oh, I also have that as well. It's much more complicated than just like black and white, right? And I think that's really what that whole episode is about, is going through that journey for her, finding the beauty and the good in him. And especially because like that's all we've heard about besides the Clone Wars, but in live action, bad, bad, bad. Anakin fell to the dark side, you know, right? And now we're seeing this side that we all knew existed and that we saw in the Clone Wars animated series.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, just his performance as Matt Lanter-esque Anakin, not that it wasn't there, but he didn't get a chance to play that role. And he did in this is so great. Really agree with everything you're saying. I think there's a exchange of dialogue between Ahsoka and Hera relatively early on where Ahsoka says in the show where Ahsoka says, something along the lines of like, you know, sometimes even when you make all of the right choices, it still doesn't turn out well. What do you do then? Mm-hmm. Mm. And I think Ahsoka is just twisted herself into knots with all of the can'ts and don'ts and shouldn'ts and stops. Mm. And life is complex. You should question things as a Jedi. You should be in constant state of like, I'm going to reexamine my assumptions and all that. But I feel like she's gotten herself to the point where she is just so dead inside. And Anakin has this ability, which can be a bad thing, but can also be a good thing, to just be blunt and binary of like, you have twisted yourself into knots in the choices, live or die. Literally choose to live because you've kind of lost hope. You've lost perspective. You got your ass handed to you and you're drowning. Literally choose to live, fight to live. Do you want to give up? There's a little bit of like, maybe she just wants to surrender and be done. So there's the kind of the literalness of that live to me. But I also feel like I choose to live that she says at the end, what Anakin is trying to say to her is live is this very positive thing. It isn't just about violence. It isn't just win the fight. And it isn't even just physically survive. It isn't the choices die, you know, don't drown or, you know, it's to be alive. And I think that is what is the most powerful, interesting thing to me about his lesson is that she is focused on all the negative on die. And I think the reason that he needs to show her Vader is that she needs to prove to herself in that moment that she can continue fighting without it being all negative, all violence, all death. It's what Baylan accuses her of you're fighting like a Jedi to stop bad things, but all fighting is just horrible violence. And of course you chose horrible violence. Everybody loves that flash of Anakin becoming Vader for a moment on Ryloth. But it's really, really cool. But to me, it's just such a great visual from her perspective of, can I trust, like you were saying, Jennifer, any of the good things he taught me, or is every single thing he taught me in the Clone Wars the fruit of the poison tree? Because is every choice he made during the Clone Wars about violence and death? And I think that's why he has to turn to Vader, because he's like, the things I taught you in the Clone Wars are good. I taught you to laugh on the battlefield, even though she's like, what are you laughing about? It's like, I'm surviving. I'm trying to hold on to hope and possibility, and I'm focused on keeping you alive and as many of these troops alive as possible. So he taught her good things in the Clone Wars, and she can't let herself believe them anymore because they're fruit of the poison tree. So then he just, shows her the poison tree of Vader. And I think what is powerful to me about the reason that she comes out as Ahsoka the White is because he convinces her to open up to joy, connection, possibility. Don't just live. Don't just have a heartbeat. Allow yourself to be alive.
Mm-hmm.
And I like what you said about the image of Vader on the battlefield. It's a cool image, and Star Wars is built on a lot of wonderful, cool moments too. And that was a cool moment. But Vader's his character celebrated in a lot of circles, right? He's the bad guy the entire world wanted to cheer for at one point, as George mm-hmm. even said, I had to come back and show you all the lesson, particularly Revenge of Sith. But the Poison Tree is a great way to look at it. Is this, we know, and Ahsoka knows. She keeps going back to it. Yeah, you were all these things. You were the most powerful, and you became too powerful for all of us in a way. And you turn and you fall. And I think as we're learning about a well-rounded Anakin, that thing of their shared legacy. But you're more than that because I'm more than that. Mm-hmm. And not every choice I made directly led to Vader. Not every choice you have made or will make is going to lead down this one path. And I think there was great value in that and love all those little moments that they had. Because he's speaking a lot of truths, but, even I'm watching it going, well, I don't trust you, Vader.
I think what's really powerful about it, it is such a cool image. And we've seen, other images that flash between Anakin and Vader over mm-hmm. the years, particularly in the Clone Wars animated series, or even the infamous Phantom Menace teaser poster of the innocent little kid with the shadow of Vader. There's always this ominous implication that we are watching this child, this teen, this young man make bad choices that are going to lead to him being Vader. Mm-hmm. And she's watching him march into war and be blunt about it. But I think for me, my reading of the episode is he's teaching her good things. He's teaching her things that she needs to know. So for once, that sort of that vision of ominous shadow of Vader over Anakin is that's Ahsoka's fear. Mm-hmm. He's not doing anything in that moment that's like, yep, and that choice is going to lead to Vader. Mm-hmm. It's that she can't hear his lesson because all she sees is the shadow of Vader. So he's like, all right, I'll show you. I'll go full shadow then. Here you go.
Never go full shadow.
Never go full shadow. Yeah. And then I think, it's very classic Star Wars moment of her defeating him, but choosing not to strike, not to kill him. I think there's that. Like, you can fight without it all being negative. I think it's a Balin is wrong moment of mm-hmm. you can fight to stop bad things. It's not bad to fight always. You're still you. Like, look, if you can fight me, fight the worst thing in your life, the worst thing maybe that ever happened to you, and still control yourself and still be you, mm-hmm. then you can trust yourself, Ahsoka. You can trust yourself to be in conflict because you're not going to do what I did.
It's not a guaranteed slip into the dark side. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So what does part five of this Ahsoka series in general tell us about who Anakin really is? I think it is a kind of a complete portrait, a well-rounded portrait of the character. Mm-hmm. But Ken, what did you get if you just watched part five and said, this is an essay on who mm-hmm. this man ultimately is, who would you think Anakin Skywalker is?
This might be the most rewatch episode in my future. I do absolutely love this episode. And it's funny, that was my first note too. More well-rounded, just a well-rounded more Anakin. He's not all anger and hate and fear. And he's a man who made his own choices. And that's something we'll have to come to terms with, right? We are our own choices. Destiny and fate and hardwiring might make them complicated. And we might have those fears. We keep joking, other center at times turned into mom center or parent center or, hardwiring center of mm-hmm. we all got things we got to overcome, but that they're still our choices. And Anakin made his own. And I think there's some of that at play here where even he's, we got the Kenobi version, which is beautiful. We spent a lot of time in that. I'd love to compare those down the line. We'll still mm-hmm. got more Anakin, modern Anakin content coming. Where there's that like you said earlier, Anakin kind of saying, I did this. And kind of hitting Kenobi on those levels, and this one's more of I did this. He says it's Jedi, it's our job to lead. That doesn't mean we don't make mistakes. There's a lot of that, and the conversation about it, does that bother you that you've made mistakes, and our mistakes have cost lives, and I just think there's great powerful moments that with Anakin just being shown as he was everything, and then made his own choices, and you can't hold yourself to those choices. Those are his.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you feel about who Anakin is according to this episode, Jennifer?
Well-rounded. That's a great way of expressing it. Dave Filoni recently talked about Anakin's return. Now we're getting some more interviews with him. Yeah. And he shared about how when we first hear about Anakin Skywalker in A New Hope, Obi-Wan painted a picture of a man who was an honorable Jedi Knight. And he said that, you know, when he was a kid, he was like, whoa. What must he have been like? Mm-hmm. This has been the greatest Jedi ever, right? And I think, a lot of us felt like that. And so Dave Filoni said that he's kind of honoring that promise that was shared with us from A New Hope. Here is that honorable Jedi Knight, that heroic side of him that we haven't really gotten in live action. And I think it was wonderful because, yeah, the prequels, he's a cute kid, and then he becomes kind of an angsty teen, and then we see, obviously, what happens next. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Go ahead, Ken.
Not to suddenly spin off into a great prequel discussion, but it's so powerful because, again, going to that one moment that I think it's from a convention in 05 or so when George is like, I had to come back and tell you all the story because I don't think you got it. He's the bad guy. He made these choices. But part of that is what you're talking about, Jay. He goes from the kid with hope and wanted to help everyone in the galaxy to where he is. And remember at the time, and I've talked about this before, but even I was one of those people of like, that's what his fall was. He fell to his knees and cried. And he wanted to say, no, I want him to do power and slice off heads. And that's cool. And that was George's big point. And so to actually kind of finally spend some time with Anakin in this way, I like what you're saying, Jen, about Dave saying, yeah, this is that guy. And we dig a lot of it in Clone Wars, and we never want to sound like we're dismissing animation because those shows, the Clone Wars and Rebels are in Bad Batches, I think my favorite current ongoing Star Wars show. So they're very powerful things. But there was something right in our faces to see it in this way. It drove a lot of points home, including young Ahsoka we'll talk about too, and the Order and kids fighting and all that stuff.
Yeah, no, I think we got to see a well-rounded Anakin in the Clone Wars series, but in a specific point in his life where he was a Jedi Knight, he was a husband, he was a brother to Obi-Wan who kind of wanted to be a son to Obi-Wan. He was a father figure to Ahsoka. And then toward the end of the Clone Wars, we're ramping up with his fear of loss and his jealousy getting darker and darker. So we got to see lots of aspects of Anakin. But I feel like in this series and in chapter 5 in particular, I think it just married almost every beat of Anakin Skywalker I've ever seen. Even going back to the Phantom Menace, where he's a kind kid who is compassionate. But even in Phantom Menace, he's blunt and dogmatic and headstrong. And like, you know, even his first line to Padme, is kind of, my name is, I'm a person and my name is Anakin. You're already like, all right, whoa, kid. And I love looking at that nod as like, oh, he was really snappy and rude and kind of angry about his station in life. Like, that's not a sign of his darkness coming. That's who he is. He's a multifaceted person who can be blunt and dogmatic. And again, as Hu Yang says in that great scene, very, very intense.
Intense young man.
So I love seeing all of that be a part of who he is. And then he can choose whether that bluntness, that directness that he says in that kind of Vader-y voice when he's attacking Ahsoka toward the end in Vader form, you lack conviction. Anakin never lacks conviction. And that can be... Yeah. That's a powerful trait that can be used for powerful good and powerful bad. And I just love seeing that everything that he is can be used for good and bad. And I think the well-rounded thing is also that we get to see him play the Clone Wars animated version of Anakin. We also get to see him be full power Vader in and of himself, not injured by Obi-Wan. So there's some stuff of just like, well, that's cool to see. The thing that I think was perhaps most moving to me is if you've been on the Star Wars adventure chronologically, starting with the film that became A New Hope, one of the very first twists in Star Wars that give it great depth is that Vader is the father figure of Star Wars. And he's a complicated father figure at best. So Vader has loomed in our culture as father figure for years and years and years. We got like even down to like the fun, you know, cute books of Vader being Leia and Luke's, you know, a dubious dad. It was so great to see him get to be a good dad, because that's a parent-child relationship between the master and the apprentice, between the Jedi and the Padawan. And so much of what he's doing is just being a parent to Ahsoka. So after years of Vader is the ultimate complicated father figure, to see kind, loving, but blunt Anakin get to be a good dad and be there for his kid was really cool.
Yeah, I love all this. And Jen, love to get your thoughts on that side of it too. But something you said there, you know, going back to the prequels, one more swing through there, that great moment of Anakin, you know, that's of a boy, my name's Anakin. Padme's one of the ones that sees who he really is, right? Her final words, mm-hmm. they're still good in him. Kenobi has to get to that point. Ahsoka is to that point, and we, you know, Luke sees being the complete well-rounded Anakin in the end, and that's kind of the lesson there. And so if you stop at the Dark Lord side, you're not getting the full picture. Or if you're Palpatine, you want to remove every, you know, ounce of light. You don't want the full picture of Anakin, because if he's mm-hmm. full, he's powerful in a different way. So that was, just made me think of that moment in Padme and what she's able to see and what she knows is there despite all of it. And that carries through the rest of these characters. And this was almost like maybe a moment for Ahsoka to be like, hey, you've kind of always been there. The great Rebels moment, the cracked helmet in Rebels is mm-hmm. you expose that person, but that don't remember this. Don't forget. Remember, this is who I am, and carry that forward.
Yeah, and I know not everybody loves the Attack of the Clone scene where Anakin confesses his slaughtering of the mm-hmm. Tuskens, but I think it is a beautiful moment that Padme is so, you know, says to be angry yeah. is to be human, and this isn't all you are, and this isn't who you have to be.
It's, right.
You know, trying to give him room. Jennifer, how did you feel about Anakin as a parent to Ahsoka? Do you read the Jedi-Padawan relationship that way, or...?
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting because I initially kind of thought of him as like an older brother. And I know mm-hmm. Filoni and other people have talked about him being this older brother. But I think you make a great point in this parental relationship, because I'm an older sister. And there have been times where I've tried to help my younger sister, guide her on the path. And there comes a point where maybe she's not following me or whatever. And I just get fed up and I'm like, all right, just figure it out on your own. Right? But as a parent, there is kind of this unwavering, like, you just want to be there to support your child. And I mm-hmm. feel like he really offers her that in this episode. And we really mm-hmm. see, and yeah, maybe he is, I don't know, maybe he is getting a little frustrated where he's like, ugh, okay, you want to see this side? All right, you know, but he doesn't leave her side. He is there. He sticks through her, which an older brother, I don't have an older brother, the older brother would do that, right? So I would argue it definitely is more of a parental relationship with their child.
Yeah. I feel like it's a fascinating part of the relationship, because the age difference in general, it's going to be some of the relationships we see are closer age-wise to siblings. Obi-Wan, mm-hmm. I love, wants to see Anakin as a sibling, and Obi-Wan needs him to be a father. You got those great lines in Attack of the Clones, like, you're the closest thing to a father I'll ever have. Mm-hmm. And I always read Anakin in the Clone Wars animated series as the older brother, because he is teaching her, but he's also like, they kind of get into naughty fun together and kind of mm-hmm. bend and break rules together. So there is, I think you can read the relationship that way. I think this, because it was so, this whole series, this whole show was about the master and apprentice relationship. And you can absolutely read Ahsoka and Sabine as sisters. But it is so much about this more not years based, but relationship based of, my role is to pass on everything I have to you. And then to me, that becomes really generational and really parental.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we see that with Baylan and Shin. He very much feels like a father figure who then abandons her.
Yes. Yeah. So Ken, You think it's some Balin thoughts?
Yeah. No, I was rewatching stuff this morning, and again, there's everything's open to interpretation. We put out in our Ahsoka overview episode last week of we all three think Balin bad is earned. Some folks in our comments were very nice and respectfully going, "Oh, I read it a little differently," which that's the power of Star Wars. Totally right. But there was watching the moment today when he's staring out, feeling something on Peridia, going, she's got a things are just stories, and he had this moment of like, all right, you're done. Different episode. We'll come back to it.
Right. If you're the child of a divorced parent, you know. see you on the weekend, kid. I got to go.
I got bowling Tuesday night, so I'll pick you up Wednesday morning.
Your ambition is leading you to sleep over at somebody else's house. Daddy's got stuff to do.
Yeah. You're just like your mother.
Anakin, he makes the argument that the Jedi must be trained differently based on their circumstances. Ahsoka's understandably wrestling with, I was raised as a child to be a soldier. Everything I've known is war and death. But Anakin seems to have no qualms about teaching Ahsoka to be a warrior, because he kind of argues that's what's needed for the situation that we're in. Do you find yourself agreeing with Anakin? Or how do you parse that with all the lessons of the Clone Wars?
Here's where I went first. It was a reflection of the Order at this time. And it reminds me that this is a situation Palpatine engineered for them. A literal can't win. You're talking about the stuff with Balin of like, hey, you're fighting. You're violent. A lot of folks feel. And we are a, Joseph, justice for the Jedi is close to your heart, and it's part of what we want here. And this came up again, and you know, the young Ahsoka part of this, we can dive into more of that later on. But it was powerful because, oh, that's right. This was a girl. This was a teenager. This was a almost preteen kid in war. That doesn't feel right. And so I saw a lot of tweets of, yeah, I told you the Jedi are a messed up warrior, violent cult. And I don't think any of that's true. I think there's just a circumstance they're in. So that's what I said earlier. There's a lot of what Anakin's saying that I think is probably true from his perspective, true for the time. But you don't trust it because you know how much of that is Vader. How much of this is that I'm kind of an intense young man and this is all leading me to that. You know, you lost a fight. Trust me, you lost. Winning and losing, but you still have a chance to live. I'm here to finish your training for that point. And that's the lesson, live or die. And we might interpret that because of what we're seeing with the warrior stuff as that's Vader saying that. I think that's Anakin saying that. He had a choice to live or die. And he couldn't let go of what he thought one vision or future of Padme was. He couldn't let go of that. So he fought. He fought and he lost. And he never lacked that conviction, right? But that cost him everything. And I think the words can have different meaning depending on how you're looking at it. Anakin Vader, the truth. But I start there, that this was a reflection of the Jedi Order at the time. They did slip and allow themselves to get into this situation engineered by the greatest evil of all time. and that's, so you are a warrior. And that was part of who you are and part of the failure.
Yeah. I mean, I know different fans have different opinions. I have all the respect for that. From my reading, I feel like the lesson of the Clone Wars is, yes, the Jedi should have found the strength to say, no, you know, we'll guard hospitals or whatever, but we're not leading an army. But I think that they felt like Dooku is a Sith. This is our problem. I think there are great things in the Clone Wars animated series where they are, at first, they're just trying to mostly do defense. And then like, okay, well, we'll help you take this one planet that's been invaded. Okay, now we're slipping and now we're actively invading planets. So, and they're trying to end the war quickly. So I think they convinced themselves that they need to do this. And then it they succumb to it. They sink deeper and deeper into it. So I have justice for the Jedi from the perspective of like, I understand why they made the mistakes. They made mistakes though. They're not inherently bad. And that is the lesson. It's that they made mistakes. They had great intentions. They made mistakes in them. Yeah. I think for me, what was interesting about this vision of Anakin talking about it of, yeah, Anakin, like all the Jedi, and as the chosen one, maybe should have questioned the war more. But by the time it got started, there were these clones that he came to see his brothers. There's this Padawan who is his responsibility. And we can't always all control all of the machinations of the world. And sometimes we just find ourselves in a situation and you need to adjust to it. I was really moved by the way he said, like, you must adjust to the times. I'm not even telling you, this isn't a question of is the war right or wrong. We're in the middle of a battle and we're being shot at. And the question right now is live or die. If you fight, you can save yourself. I'm trying to keep you alive. If you fight, you can keep more of these clones alive. I don't want to lose any of them. Maybe we shouldn't be in this situation, but we are. I think I have a side of myself that is very pragmatic and blunt. And I think I relate to that part of Anakin sometimes where, you know, I've been in situations where people just want to talk about how we shouldn't be in this situation. And sometimes I'm like, I agree, you are correct, but we are in it right bleeping now. And these are the two mother bleeping options in front of us. And I feel like that's the part of his character that came out that isn't about like, he isn't like, war's great. Tap into your anger, Ahsoka. This is the reality now. And I want you to be strong and safe. And to do that, you got to fight. It also just feels like an analogy for actual life, not physically fighting, but just emotionally fighting for yourself. You have to fight to live. Jennifer, how did you feel about how Anakin talked about training Ahsoka for war and to be a warrior?
Well, first of all, I liked that they used the word warrior, since that's what Obi-Wan says in A New Hope. He said Anakin was a cunning warrior. That's a positive thing. And so we can see here in this moment, he is training her to be a survivor. And we'll get into Ariana Greenblatt's performance, which is fantastic. But I really liked that there's a lot of people that have not watched The Clone Wars. They have no idea about Ahsoka's backstory. So it kind of, I felt like in a way it was introducing people to the snips that we knew at the beginning. This plucky, wide-eyed young girl who's just like, you know, optimistic, hopeful, right? And I like that he's like, listen, you got to survive. And we see her over the course of the Clone Wars and now where she's ended up at the beginning of this series, the Ahsoka series, she has become a warrior and she has become a survivor because of that training and going through everything that she went through. So I really liked that. I felt it was very truthful to the character for both of them.
Yeah. I think it had some great rhythm with lessons from Last Jedi and in the Kenobi series as well of like, it is understandable for particularly middle-aged Jedi to say, is this just a cycle? Is it just endless fighting? I want to be done with the fighting. And I feel like the lesson that Star Wars comes to again and again is you do have to fight, to live, to survive, to help other people. But you can choose how you go about fighting. And I think that's, you know, what Ahsoka ultimately does with the Ahsoka the White of like, I do need to keep fighting, but I can be more open. I can be less negative. I can be less, well, now it's all ruined, so being messed up, and I can be open to possibilities and be creative.
That's the great stuff. Yeah, because, you know, stopping or defeating Thrawn is, I'd say, still pretty important and still maybe has to be done, right? But now, like we said earlier, she's open to more of the bigger picture, different solutions. And there was something powerful of me of the final bits of this sequence ending with her not striking him down or coming close to striking him down with her weapon. It's with his. And it's a different, just the different how. The why is established, why we have to fight. The how is something we always talk about because it's big in Star Wars constantly.
Yeah, and it's very Jedi. She disarms him and removes the weapon.
Yeah.
And, you know, she fought, and that's where she ended up. One more question, and then we're going to take a quick break. Ken talked about this a little bit, but Jennifer, how did you feel about the ending of the entire show, the series? Did ending on a vision of Force Spirit Anakin feel right for the end of this series? And what did seeing Anakin, do you think, do for Ahsoka in that moment?
I loved it. It was such a beautiful moment visually and story-wise. It felt very religious, I will say, right? I mean, I can see, like, you know, those Jesus pictures that you see sometimes in people's homes, right? With this, like, light coming behind Anakin.
I'm so used to the Qui-Gon and Kenobi jokes of that sort of like, but yeah, we can add Anakin to the list. Yep.
Right. And it's interesting because in that performance, and Anakin looks sad. There's a flash of like almost sadness. And I got worried at first. I'm like, oh no, he's sad. He's like, he's wishing he could be there like in person IRL. but then his face quickly changes, and this smile, and not like a cheesy big smile, like I did my job. It's just a slight smile, and it's just so poignant and beautiful. And it just, it's the perfect stamp on this series. I mean, I don't know if we're going to get, are we going to get a series, a season two?
Not announced yet.
Not announced yet.
I don't know. I mean, it's you kind of, think. It's a great ending though. It's just a great ending to this chapter. I loved it.
Yeah. I felt like it was a great ending to, I feel like in terms of the big plot of Star Wars, it got Ahsoka back to this other galaxy. It set Ahsoka and Sabine up for adventures, set Thrawn and the Night Sisters up. So there was a lot of like a very, and next time on Star Wars, whenever that's going to happen in terms of plot. But I feel like the emotional arc for Sabine and Ahsoka was resolved. And for Ahsoka in particular, it was, I can't get past, I've never made peace with what happened to Anakin. I faced him. I fought him. I assume she heard from Luke and or Leia what happened to him, that he made a better choice in the end, but she needed to work through that. And I feel like this is just totally like putting a button on the trauma and the fear that she would be too much like him. And this whole, I think the whole show is about her in many ways wanting to be a good mentor, parent, Jedi master to Sabine. And she can't do that unless she puts away her baggage with her Jedi master parent. And I feel like this is so like, yep, my baggage is put away. And what I love about the way he looks at her, it's almost like watching Anakin Skywalker, you know, watch his kid drive off to college of like, you're going to go live in a dorm, but I know you got this. And I'm a force phone call away, buddy. You know, enjoy.
Yeah,
it's bittersweet, but it's also like you totally got this. It is. She talks about letting go. He obviously struggled in IRL with letting go. And it was such a beautiful moment of let it go. Let the worries about me go. I'm here if you need me, but you don't need me. You're full and complete.
Yeah. I was going to make a Wonder Years joke of suddenly Joe Cocker starts singing. What would you do? This happens. But you made me think of end of season 5 of Clone Wars. This is the exact opposite of that. There's this great piece now with Anakin that he has achieved in this section of his journey, and versus the one that he stands by, right? Ahsoka even talks about that. I made big decisions and Anakin stood by me. And at the end of season 5 of Clone Wars, he does away, but he's got his own conflicts going on, and he's not too far away from making a big decision himself. And this moment, it was a wonderfully odd choice to end the series with Anakin at first for me, of that being the final shot. I had this kind of like, oh, wow, okay. But it does make a lot of sense. And in a series that has a lot of, I think, loose threads, you describe it well as next time on Star Wars. And I think we all hope we get there, whether it's the movie or ongoing series or whatever. But this is, you're right, the Sabine Ahsoka stuff does come to a nice close, and he has a large part of that. And it's just nice. It's Return of the Jedi vibes, right? Him having this realization, and dare I say some sort of peace for him, whether or not he fully needed that, I don't know. The Force Ghost Anakin, but Jen, you're right. Like there's a, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I feel good now. I feel good about this.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Moray, the convoy being there, assists with this as well. But I think there is also just an element of you're on the right path, you know, keep going, kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, enjoy college. I don't know, it's college.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on this before we do our recommendation?
One of the thoughts, I maybe it's a question, is because it's a rather complete moment for Anakin. And I would absolutely love to see Hayden, and there's many ways to do it again, right? And going back, you can do different parts of the journey and timeline. But in terms of, I had this peaceful, slightly fearful realization, but a peaceful realization that this could be the last time we need to see them together again.
Yeah.
In any way, shape, or form. It came to a nice end, which was I'll take that if that's the actual reality of it.
Yeah, I feel like this thread of her feeling afraid of her potential for violence is completed. Obviously, there's a lot more storytelling for Ahsoka, and I can see her being in a place of conflict and in reaching out to him, but this felt like a resolution of the relationship.
Yes.
Like, I think the way Luke appears to Rey in Rise of Skywalker is not about them resolving their relationship. That's really just like, you're having a hard time and you need someone to chat with. So I'm around, you know? So I think she still might phone a friend, but in terms of their relationship, it was a nice button. All right. Shall we do our recommendation and take a quick break?
Yeah, absolutely. Our Force Center recommends us an audiobook we think you should try out on us. And Joseph, what do we have today?
We are still recommending Path of Deceit by Justina Ireland and Tessa Grattan. It is the first book in phase two of the High Republic. I read it recently and really enjoyed it, so wanted to encourage people to check it out.
So if you're like us, you need to start phase two finally and dive in. Download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter for your free audiobook. All right, quick break. We'll be back with more Anakin Skywalker in the Ahsoka series. Be right back here at Force Center.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
All right, we are back. We're having a lot of fun diving deep into the spirit of Anakin Skywalker and all those boots and all those lightsaber fights, fighting that was going on there. Joseph, it's been a lot of fun, but we're gonna go swing through literally with some lightsabers here.
That is right. We talked about the depth, and I'm sure we'll keep talking about the depth and ideas, but there is also just a lot of, hey, if you're a Star Wars fan, X, Y, and Z was really cool to see with Anakin, so we're going to talk about some of that. Lots of fans were extremely thrilled by Hayden's great action moves. Ken, were there any particular beats of the fight you enjoyed seeing Anakin swing that lightsaber?
There was some great, what I would describe as big, wild, powerful Vader swings, mm-hmm. right? This is still clearly Anakin fighting. This is Revenge of the Sith Anakin, Clone Wars Anakin. But I like when some of Vader emerges. You know, obviously his style changes a little bit. A little more clunky around him. You know, freedom mm-hmm. of movement is not there as much. I know there's just some there. And Hayden is really good at this fighting. He could probably, there's a place up the street in Burbank. He might, you know, teach some people how to do broadswords and stuff. He's really good at this. And it was fun to see that just as a fan level to have him get back. And again, this was in the Kenobi series too. We saw it as well. And those two fighting together is great. But I think him and Rosario, you could just tell it had that cool Star Wars vibe. And I was watching that this morning, just a couple of big moments where he's hacking down like Vader. I love that.
Yeah. There's some big hacks. Jennifer, you have any particular fight moments that you enjoy?
At the beginning of the episode, I was like, oh my gosh, he's really not holding back like at all. Mm-hmm. I was worried, and kudos to Rosario Dawson for being able to go right back. Right. Mm-hmm. you can tell that he has been training and she's been training for him, obviously, since Kenobi. And I guess that's another reason why it was so exciting to see Hayden back, is like, this mm-hmm. is Anakin in his prime. This yeah. is seeing him at his fullest potential. And Hayden is making that happen. I mean, a lot of actors, you know, they're living the life, right? We're just Netflix and chill. And so it takes a lot to be in fighting shape. And he has really, he's done an amazing job. I loved it. Yeah, I could go back and watch that sequence over and over again, because it's just, yeah. it's perfect Star Wars.
He is very Netflix and fight, not Netflix and chill, for sure. Yeah.
Yes.
And it's fun. I spent the night after that episode just scrolling through hundreds, thousands of social media posts screaming for the GOAT, you know, like particularly people who grew up with the prequels and didn't have any negative baggage and just appreciated how great his fighting is, particularly in Revenge of the Sith all throughout, mm-hmm. but really gets to show his chops in Revenge of the Sith. There are a couple fun moves. He did it a couple time. I love these sort of these, you were describing as hacks, but there's these very blunt, like he brings his saber forward and then almost with his shoulder, just like mm-hmm. with the force of his body sort of pushes her back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's such a great, just like, yeah, this is about where the blade is, but it's almost more just totally about like, this is the energy of who I am as a person coming at you. Yeah. And it wasn't fancy. It's just boom, shoulders, boom, somebody flies back. That was real cool. Mm-hmm. Everybody loved the spinning behind the back blade yeah. move mm-hmm. that he did. There's a moment that he's approaching her as Vader, and it isn't pulled back too far, so it's not incredibly obvious. But he's spinning the red blade, mm-hmm. which is you've never seen him do mm-hmm. the like I'm just warming up, you know, with the red blade. So that was yeah. cool. And then final thing for me, I always really like it when the camera just really pulls back and just shows you the two people. Doing the choreography.
Yes.
And in that final phrase where he is, you know, Vader and is coming at her, there's a great shot that's pulled way back in total profile. And they're both doing kind of big swinging swoops, which to me was like really reminiscent of some of the choreography and some of the shots of Vader versus Luke in mm-hmm. Return of the Jedi, which I know is one of your favorites, Ken. It just mm-hmm. it really evoked that. Did you get yeah. that vibe, Ken?
I absolutely did. Look, it's got to look and feel a certain way, even though you got to push new boundaries. And that felt like Star Wars. And again, you know, to be honest, on my journey with the series, I wasn't feeling stuff as much as other people, including the end of episode 4, because I think I had a little bit of like, yeah, we knew he was here. I'm grumpy. And this is the first episode where I kind of leaned a little forward. And it's not just that it felt like the Star Wars I was familiar with. It just was, it was big, a big sweeping epic moment. And that worked for me. And that's what I needed to maybe connect a little bit more. That's my journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, you know, we're talking about which parts of the lightsaber fights were cool, but I think I always love it when lightsaber fights are both, wow, that looked cool, but then it's visually meaningful. And I think that's maybe why I'm gravitating toward those moments where mm-hmm, it just mm-hmm. feels like, I am coming at you just like life, just like Baylan, just like your trauma. I'm coming at you and you got to respond to it. And how are you going to choose to respond? So you get both the cool and the depth. Any particular lines or exchanges from Anakin that you enjoyed, Jennifer? Was there anything that was just like, that's a fun line, that's a cool line, or that's a deep, meaningful line? What grabbed you?
There were so many, but I really loved in the first flashback sequence where Ahsoka says, "This is the Clone Wars," and then Anakin, he like kind of chuckles and says, "Yeah, no kidding." It just was a side of Anakin in live action that I was like, "Oh, I love it." Like he's just, there's that older brother, right? There's that like relaxed, confident Anakin that we know is there. And yeah, I loved that. That was a fun moment. There were just so many moments like that where he just felt like he was so relaxed, even in the midst of everything that's going on. So,
yeah. And just script wise, you know, to me, it's not a huge criticism of the prequels. I think it's a reality. Script wise, he only gets to be playful so much, you know,
right.
there are great moments in Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith where he's playful. And I love those moments, but Clone Wars gave us so many of those moments that this, I think, is a moment where he's just like, ah, great. I get to really sink my teeth into this is his vibe then. You know, great.
I would have loved it. You know, it was a great exposition moment. You need to kind of explain this is the Clone Wars. But if Anakin had turned around and been like, oh, I didn't watch Star Wars animation. I don't know. Is it good? what is it? Is it good?
No, really nerd out. Like these are phase two or phase one troopers, actually. Phase one. I really liked, and I want to pitch to you, Ken. The one is never too old to learn snips felt like you know, it's a great boilerplate line setting up what's going on. But it also felt like him talking about himself. Like there's a couple different lines that have some weight of, cause we can connect that to his journey. Some pretty explicitly, but the one is never too old to learn snips was one. You see a flash of middle-aged Kenobi and, you know, older Luke and like, yep, that's one of the life lessons of Star Wars is one is never too old to learn. But the one is never too old to learn also just felt like, I learned at the very end of my life.
Yes.
I was not too old to learn what really matters to me and that there's still a path back because he's so convinced like Kenobi once thought as you did, there's no path for me.
Yeah.
I'm done. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And to learn, I learned at the very end of my life that there's a path back. And you're giving yourself all this pressure, Ahsoka, that you're middle-aged, you've been around the block, you should know everything. Like, it's fine. We're always learning.
Yeah, I love that you said that. And again, this entire episode and anything with Anakin in the series is open to your own personal interpretations. We'll be clear about that to anyone listening or watching. But I goes back to what you said about that line of this, is this what this is about? Anakin's already been on that journey. He doesn't need to work it out. He's already been on it. He had the mask taken off as Luke cried over him. And so I think that's feeds back into that line right there of like, trust me. It's never too late to learn. You're never too old.
Yeah. There are a couple more that I wanted to touch on, but what are some of yours, Ken?
I love the line, I haven't taught you everything yet, to the theme of why he's back and why she needs him back. This is probably on your list as well, but it was very popular around the world and it was, I won't fight you. I've heard that before. It was a great way to call back to the Return of the Jedi moments with Luke and his son.
Yeah. It's a cool, you know, I don't think it is at all a member barrier. Do you recognize that at all thing? I think it really is orienting us to whatever you believe this vision of Anakin is, it's a vision of Anakin who's lived his whole life.
Who knows it? Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows what he's been through? We've talked plenty about, is that what this is about? But I also just like it as it is like him saying, I cannot get through to her unless I let her face Vader, which means I kind of need to let the disease and the hate seep in. But it is also just incredibly funny with the understatement, with the cockiness of it, you know, just say, oh, is that what you're hung up on? The 25 years or so of just genocidal malice and destruction? Is that what this is about? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty great. Final one for me is the incorrect kind of head tilted invader. At that point, you know, they're putting a little bit of metallic effect on his voice. But Hayden over the years has talked about how he really tried to have lots of emotion as Anakin, but also kind of keep a little bit of this sort of flat matter of fact tone that will lead to Vader. That line is just like, oh yes, I totally see that Anakin and Vader speak exactly the same. That was a perfect perfect in between of Anakin and Vader. Just incorrect. Yeah. Love that one.
I like that.
Any other lines before we move on?
No, good stuff for me.
Next. So we've talked about it a little bit, but I want to dive in deeper on the just lore side of things. We get the thrill of seeing the Clone Wars era in live action, seeing Anakin interact with young Ahsoka during the Battle of Ryloth in the Siege of Mandalore. We see helmet on live action Rex, young Ahsoka, obviously. Jennifer, what was the most interesting or thrilling part of just seeing all of that formerly animated, now live action Clone Wars stuff?
I thought it was really well done by Dave Filoni. It was very deftly done, right? So he, you know, some might say, oh, well, Anakin's just going to be a cameo. He could just be a cameo. No, he made him the whole meat of the episode, right? So that's one thing. That's a big, that's kind of like a big risk, but it's also something that fans want to see. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, he gives us like a Rex cameo. Now, you know, Rex doesn't take off his helmet. It's not a big moment. It's just like, oh, that makes sense that Rex would be there. Okay, great, right? I loved that. I like that they had the battle in fog. They don't need to show us specifically what is going on because it keeps us focused on the story, on the characters, obviously, as we've talked about, maybe like budget-wise, they couldn't go there, right? But it works, it works. And then lastly, I'll say, young Ahsoka, Ariana Greenblatt, holy, this young actress, so phenomenal. She embodies the spirit. Her performance is so believable and so real. She looks like young Ahsoka, and she sounds like Ashley Eckstein. I was like, how, whoever found, whatever casting director, whoever found this person, bravo, because I just was like, I want to see more of her. I really do. I hope we'll get to see more of her because she was just so good. So good.
Yeah, and you know what? Jen, she killed it in Barbie playing what I'm calling the young Jen Landa role.
And she's, I need to watch that movie. Yeah.
She's had quite a year.
It was her summer. Yeah. Between Barbie and this appearance as Ahsoka. Really, really amazing stuff. Yeah. I really agree with a ton of the stuff you're saying. I know that it is the limitations of the volume up to a point, but it also felt artistically entirely correct. I loved that it was misty and hazy and dreamlike, and it felt like that's what Ahsoka is experiencing, but it also feels like that's what war really looks like. You know, misty and hazy, and you can only see the immediate in front of you while also trying to understand the big picture of what is going on around you. And I really enjoyed seeing it that way, because I think for me that's where the volume is at its best. I think the volume looks fantastic for the Kenobi Vader fight in the Kenobi series. Because it looks misty and dreamlike in like a 70s fantasy book come to live action. And I thought that both of these battlefields look that way too. And I know for some people, it's, they just see the limit of the budget, but artistically it looked beautiful to me. It was really, really fun to see Anakin in the armor, just to see that Clone Wars armor with the big Jedi insignia on the shoulder in live action with the different haircut. That was really cool. I agree with you that the performance of young Ahsoka was great. She sounded like Ashley Eckstein. She sounded like Rosario Dawson. Mm-hmm. She sounded like a wide-eyed kid. And she also sounded like a 35, 40-year-old woman in the body of a 15-year-old. Like, she also did the sort of Freaky Friday, I'm older than what I look like. You know, that's acting hard. Really well. It's really hard. But I think the biggest impact of all of it for me was Ahsoka is injured by being a child warrior. Baylan is haunted by being not a child warrior, but a young man warrior. Seeing it in live action, I've watched the Clone Wars a million times and I've been moved by it, but seeing an actual young woman really drove home the trauma of, I was raised here in a misty hell battlefield. That's where I grew up. Mm-hmm. It really drove it home seeing it in live action in a different way. I think it's intellectually very clear in the Clone Wars animated series, but it was emotional here and I felt it in a different way. Ken, what do you feel about that and anything else you loved in the Clone Wars live action bonanza?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. In the reactions across the internet, a lot of people focusing on that, there was a little bit of it, you know, and I mean, this is a good way of like, oh, I never really thought about in those terms. Yeah, that was a kid out of the, and she wasn't the only one. And again, that I know it turned a little bit into, a negative take on the order, but that's where they were at this time. So this whole sequence, when it first happens, when one of the clones, you know, walks by, you're like, oh, okay, they're doing it. They're doing it. And there's a surface level fun for me of just like being prequels around here and someone who came around on those films. And it's just, I don't know. There's like a justification that was all real. That whole sequence, that whole series of films and the Clone Wars and the mechs and the walkers and the armor and everything we loved there, it's very real and it's part of the story. And it's big. It's obviously important to Dave and his Star Wars journey and his heart. So it wasn't just a simple little thing for me. It was a big fun thing to see it on there and to point and go, yeah, those are the rock walkers. That's this fight. Oh my God, they're doing Siege of Mandalore. That's some surface level fun. The meaning of it was powerful. Yeah, Ariana Greenblatt was in my notes too as well. I thought she did some of the finest work in the series and the stuff here and the time she had. And yeah, Jen, I had a weird thought this morning rewatching it. I was like, I'm not saying I want to reboot the Clone Wars animated series as a live action series, but I wouldn't be opposed to something with it. Like, It was very fun to watch.
Yeah, a few specials would be great. I would not object to that. That would be amazing. Oh, yeah. Yeah, when she turns and is like, yes, you're more Anakin, more powerful, more. It's great. Anyway, so Anakin also pops up. I want to be sure to address this in the form of a holo lesson for Ahsoka that she is training to, doing her forms, during which she name checks Asajj Ventress. And Ahsoka reveals he made 20 or more of these training videos. Jen, what was valuable or interesting to you about this sort of Anakin appearance?
I thought it was really insightful to Ahsoka and how she still relies on him. She still needs that guidance. And that's really where it does feel like it is more of a parental child relationship. Mm-hmm. Like she needs her dad, right? And it's not that it's just that he encourages her, he motivates her. And as Hu Yang says, you know, it was very thoughtful of him to do these holo messages for her. And, you know, and she's like, he was a good master. And it's just like hammering that home again, you know? Yeah, we know what happened to him. Yes, he's Darth Vader, but he was also this great, for those of you who may not have watched the Clone Wars animated series, he was a great man, a great guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, Annie?
And a good friend. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To go back to your Obi-Wan quotes you're talking about. Yeah, I really, I think it gets to the tragedy of Anakin Skywalker, that he didn't have to make the bad choice that he did to let himself be consumed with fear and manipulated by Palpatine. Mm-hmm. Because the training video shows this heartbreaking ability to let go, which is what ultimately damns him with his choice, this fear of what it will do to me if I can't bear the pain of Padme dying. His dialogue, you know, I won't always be there to look out for you. If we get separated or something happens, you know, you need to be able to make it on your own. Don't be afraid. Just remember what I taught you and trust your instincts. I know you can do this, Ahsoka. Hmm. It's all like, it's got this great in the moment. Like, this is what she needs to hear. She goes to face this new galaxy and face Thrawn and all these choices. But for him to be able to say that back then of like, I love this girl, she is like my little sister, like my daughter. Compassion is everything to him. His fear of loss is huge. And for him to be able to record that and be on the right path and say, I know my role is to give you everything I can and then trust that you got this. You know, this one felt to me like a dad making a video for a kid to drive a stick shift of like, I don't want to let you drive off in the car alone, but I've told you about riding the clutch and now I trust then you've got it, and I back away. It was really heartwarming and a little heartbreaking.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. I thought episode 5 was this very powerful, emotional sequence that ended with an ellipses. And this was the punctuation, the period on the end of the sentence. This was her, you know, it seems almost direct. He was a good master. She just went through all that. But it goes to what you're saying. If he made over 20 of these, this was his last one. We don't know exactly on the timeline, you know, we can go by hair and armor. We might know exactly kind of where it is, but this was in his soul while he was still wrestling with what he was wrestling with, while he was still fighting a war and leading when he needed to. So this was part of who he was. This was that well-rounded Anakin that she can be and that she still has those choices in front of her. And I agree with you. It's sad. This was the last one. We all know what that means. We all know where it went, and he lost himself. But along the way, he was very much who he needed to be, and aware of who he needed to be and wanted to be, particularly towards characters like her. And again, just fun connecting the Clone Wars here in Asajj Ventress. Yeah, that's pretty cool. You pointed the screen like Leo, and it worked.
It is huge. It is, you know, a validation of all the time we spent with that. But Asajj in particular, who is a character that I think a lot of people love, I know we love, really hearing her name checked was in some ways even bigger than seeing Rex to me.
Right.
Her name checked in live action. I saw some jokes on social media, some darker jokes of the security footage of the Anakin's assault on the Jedi Temple, saying he made one more video. heartbreaking, but funny. I also like the exact question of, and it's not a pedantic, I need to know the answer. It's fun to think about. It's a fun thing to not know where, how much work did she do to get all these? Because she's got a little box of them, right? She's collected them all. You know, did she send for her belongings? Did she have... at some point, could you please send all the few belongings in my little Jedi room? Could you please send it to the Martez sisters? You know, or did she collect these post fall? Imperial.
I'm almost wondering, is there that time during Clone Wars season 7 that's kind of running alongside Revenge of the Sith? It was there a moment we just haven't seen where she slips down the, oh, they didn't empty my room out yet. Okay, cool.
Yeah, maybe, you know, because there's a big thing of Anakin, you know, making her blades better, you know, and making them the same color as his. Maybe he's also like, in this box of videos, don't forget the How to Drive a Stick Shift video I made you.
I put Pink Floyd's The Wall LP in here. Listen to it at night with the lights down low.
I love it. Absolutely love that. We're wrapping up our conversation here about the spirit of Anakin Skywalker in the Ahsoka show. If there are many other training videos, Jen, what other Anakin training videos do you want to see? How to leap from tall places, dealing with your anger, stretching food rations. What kind of videos do you want to see from Anakin?
I'm going to say something really controversial because I am an actor and obviously we're fighting against AI. And this actually has nothing to do with this series. But how cool would it be if you could get an AI of Hayden as Anakin, like giving you motivational videos, right? Like they have Kendall Jenner and like Paris Hilton doing these AI generated things where they talk to you. But I would pay a subscription to have Anakin, like when I wake up in the morning drinking my coffee, like, you can do this, Jen. Get out there. You got this, kid. Like, oh my gosh. Like I want that to be the future. That's the future that Star Wars fans want, or at least me.
That's beautiful. And trust your instincts. Also, your fly is down. Oh, thanks, Anakin. Getting me ready for the day. The jokey video I want is, what does your robe color as a Jedi say about you? Because it's one of the things that I love just sort of accepting as fantasy, but like, you know, the on-the-noseness of, you know, young Anakin being like, should we be worried that the Chosen One's really into dark leather? Is that, you know? And then that connection to, like, Ahsoka goes through this and emerges Ahsoka the White. And like, okay, maybe it's a little bit off-white. But there is a visual robe change that is significant going on. So that would be fun if he was like, a lot of different Jedi have different thoughts about what your robes say about you. So, Ken, how about you? Like what videos do you want to see?
I want an Anakin banter on the battlefield lesson. Like, when's it well-timed? What line is it? What do you say to get Obi-Wan's goat? What do you say to secretly make Yoda laugh where he just kind of chuckles under his breath? How do you anger Mace Windu, Ki-Adi Mundi? I think the lessons of wartime banter with Anakin Skywalker, like a little comedy class.
Here's how to avoid Quinlan Voss in the halls. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's definitely an older brother thing, right? Here's how you mess with everyone.
Put Plo Koon's water, hand in water while he's sleeping, all the great stuff.
Yeah, all the great stuff.
Battlefield banter is great. Here's a final fun question. If Mace Windu in the Jedi Council could see this version of complete, unified, well-rounded Anakin, do you think they would finally grant him the rank of master, Ken?
I think if you're thrown into the council wide, I think there'd be a few votes for yes. Like, we had him pegged wrong, or this is what we knew was always there. And look, and especially if they have some hindsight of seeing what happens and the importance of Luke and Ahsoka and the story going forward, I think they would have. I think Mace would have been like, perhaps you should have shown this at a earlier time. I'm good. I'm voting no. Or Mace might vote present. He'll just be like, present.
Present. Yeah.
Present.
That's mm-hmm. great. I feel like Mace would have to give it to him. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he can do it without a long sigh.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's a jokey question, but it is nice to imagine that, like, he made it. He finally made it. Jennifer, how about you? Do you think they would grant him the rank of master that they denied him in Revenge of the Sith?
Yeah, I think that they would. And I think I'm approaching it more like an after school special where I could see this moment where he's like, well, kid, you know, obviously he wouldn't talk like this, but I'm sorry for not believing in you. But thankfully you had a master who did. His hand on his shoulder, right? But I don't think he would actually be that. I don't think he would apologize.
Oh, really relaxed Mace Windu sounds terrifying.
Terrifying.
Right? Like right. Seeing, like when you're a kid and you'd see your very stern parent, or not parent, like teacher at like a grocery store. Or like,
oh yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Scary to imagine relaxed Mace.
I like imagining though that in keeping with what happened with Ahsoka at the end of season 5, where everyone, like, you know, Ki-Adi Mundi is like, ah, all right, you know, this turns out this was your test all along. And Anakin's like, you know what? Now I don't want it. I don't need it.
You passed the test.
That is actually the most important thing is Anakin's like, yeah, that was my bad. I should not have got so upset about that. That was not a big deal. Not a big deal. That's not what matters. That's not mm-hmm. what matters. Any final thoughts on the spirit of Anakin Skywalker? Ken?
For me, this was part of I'm stumbling. It was the favorite part of my show, of the show for me, in a lot of ways. Like I said, I've had a different journey with the show, and there's so many wonderful things. So much love and passion went into making it, that I know. And this was both not just from the filmmakers, but the behind the scenes folks and the actors, and this was the sequence where I think it all came together in a wonderful way. And like I said, all jokes aside, I don't mean this as an insult to the show or anything. Like, this is probably an episode I'll rewatch, where I'm just like, you know what, I'm just gonna watch episode 5. I don't need to watch 1 through 8. I'm gonna go to 5. And it worked for me in a lot of ways because Anakin is so powerful and key to the story of Star Wars. And to in 2023, go back and still find a different way to analyze him and to shine certain lights on him and continue the lesson for us fans over Anakin's journey, I think that's pretty valuable.
Yeah, no, I really agree. I think this was a favorite episode for me, and we've been talking about the Anakin part of it, but I really do enjoy the entire episode. I love what's going on with Jason. Hu Yang has some great moments in it, and this episode could have just been Ahsoka kind of learns the lesson, and then she benefits from the lesson next episode, but it felt very complete as an episode to see her emerge and say, oh, maybe I don't need to just be angry and upset that Sabine made a different choice. Maybe there's a possibility. And that thought of reaching out to the Purgles and doing something daring and weird. And there's that, you know, great line with Hu Yang of like, you know, we don't know if this is going to work. It's like, well, it's better than doing nothing. Is like, that's, to me, that's the live lesson that came home. So, you know, that's part of what made the episode so powerful. And then just looking at Anakin is a central character in Star Wars. It's just a gift. It's fun and meaningful. It's fun to watch him play a fully formed Anakin, play all these aspects of Anakin. But it's also what I come to Star Wars for most, the depth and the meaning and how I can maybe apply that to my life. And trying to apply the, like, don't be so quick to think of one trait as just negative. Think of it as a truth of who you are. How are you going to deploy that trait? Is it going to be destructively, or like Anakin does in this episode, constructively? Everything he does is to be there for Ahsoka, and it's really beautiful. Any final thoughts from you, Jennifer?
From a fan perspective, if I cannot imagine years ago when I was watching the Clone Wars animated series, thinking that we would see Hayden Christensen back on screen as Anakin, and we'd be getting Ahsoka in live action. Like, that just was not really something that I thought we would ever get. So seeing them And I must admit, when Rosario Dawson was first cast, I love her, but I had such a connection to Ashley Eckstein. I was like, how is this going to work? Right. And Rosario Dawson did an incredible job. And in this episode specifically, the connection that these two have, Hayden and Rosario, it feels so real. It's so truthful to these characters. They did such a beautiful job. The script is like perfect. And like you're saying, Ken, I could watch this over and over again. It's just such a beautiful moment in Star Wars that I want to take off the shelf and look at it and enjoy it and then just put it back. Right. It's something that I'm going to be like Ahsoka with a holo video, right? Holo this is going to be my holo video. Yeah, exactly.
Yes. So hopefully we can get all the Anakin videos that we can all watch to get ready for the day. Well, that is it. That is our look at the spirit of Anakin Skywalker. Ken, where can people find us?
You can find us on Twitter and Threads at Force Center Pod, on Facebook page. Our Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. We're on Instagram, YouTube as well. Subscribe over there. We got a live show coming this month, and you can, yes, see our faces if you want, but we also really appreciate those listening on the podcast. You can find the podcast on a lot of spots, including iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and more. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/Force Center, and you can support us directly at patreon.com/Force Center. You can follow me at Ken Knapsack. Go to my website, KenKnapsack.com for more. It's a holiday season. I'm selling personalized copies of my book, Why We Love Star Wars, directly from my store there. You can go there and find that out, as well as the other things I do. Jen, where can I find and follow you?
You can find me on TikTok at Jennifer Landa 1138. I have to resist saying Twitter because it's no longer Twitter. It's X. I'm also there at Jennifer Landa, YouTube, Instagram at Jennifer Landa.
That's right. Joseph, you had a lot of fun this past weekend out in Vegas. Any more coming up? Or are you just online for the rest of the winter season?
Yeah, I'm only going to exist on the internet. I got some travels coming up. A couple of shows that I will remember to write down the details to tell people about. But for now, you can find me on all the social media at Joseph Scrimshaw. If you can get an invite code to Blue Sky, I'm having a lot of fun over there in particular. If you would like to help me make more short films like the Nightmare Adorable that Ken was in and has been playing at festivals, it was in Vegas this weekend, I could definitely use some more funds for my production company to make those films. In a way you can help is by buying anything from my Bandcamp store. In particular, I have a holiday album, a holiday comedy album I made a few years back called A Very Holiday Thing. So if that sounds like fun for you for this season, it would help me out a ton. That is on Bandcamp. Just go to bandcamp.com and search for Joseph Scrimshaw and it'll pop right up. That is it.
That is it. That is it for us. That's it for Ahsoka and Anakin for now. We'll see you next time here on Force Center.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.